Turn with me, if you would, now to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. I pray this will be enjoyable to you. Studying this has been simply meaning in simplicity, very, very simply enjoyable to me. I want to end our day today, this day of worship that we've had together. I want to end it with a prayer to our Lord that is stated very clearly in one particular verse here. We're going to look at this psalm. We're going to look at the whole psalm. It's a prayer of David, but one verse summarizes the prayer so well. And I've preached from this psalm many times. I love Psalm 25. This is truly a wonderful, wonderful psalm. There are so many verses in this psalm that are individual outlines within themselves. I preach so many messages from just one verse here and there. It's just a wonderful psalm. But as we read down through this tonight, you'll see that there are just full verses in here. But from this psalm, I pray that the Lord will send a message to us from the whole psalm. And I pray He'll comfort us from it. And I pray that He'll cause us to truly pray this to our Lord from the heart. For our scripture reading, we just read that the Lord said, don't use vain repetitions, which is something I feel I do all the time. And don't do it for any other reason than to get into your closet and to pour out your heart and soul to your Lord. I pray the Lord will let us get into our closet and pour out our heart and our souls to Him. The summary is stated very clearly here in verse 20. David crying out to the Lord in prayer. He says, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. Now that's a prayer. That is a prayer to end the day with. Oh, keep my soul. What a thing to, from the depths of our hearts, cry out to our Lord. Oh, keep my soul. He said, Father, all of them that You gave to me, I've kept. Lord, please let me be one of them. Please let me be one of them. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Deliver me from sin. Deliver me from death. Deliver me from this flesh. Deliver me from this world. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. My trust is in You. If our souls are going to be kept, God is going to have to keep them. If we are going to be delivered, the blood of Christ is going to have to deliver us. The only way that we cannot be ashamed is if Christ bore the shame for us. And the only way we can put our trust in Him is if He gives us the faith to do it. He has to author it. He has to perform it. He has to finish it. That's the only way. So Lord, sincerely, we're crying to You. We are crying to You. This is our prayer to You. Keep us, deliver us, and spare us from the shame. All our hope is in You. All our hope's in You. Right here in the Psalms, you can turn back. Look at Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is referred to as the Psalm of the Cross. You may hear people refer to Psalm 22 as the Psalm of the Cross. Verse 1 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 23 is referred to as the Psalm of Comfort. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 24 is referred to as the Psalm of the Crown. Verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It goes on down to say, open the gates and the King of glory will come in. The Psalm of the Crown, the cross, the comfort, the crown. Psalm 25 could be referred to as the cry of every child of God. Every child of God. The cry and the prayer of every child of God. Let's see what it is by seeing what David prayed right here. And before I get into it, I want to tell you this is, I said I enjoyed the simplicity of this, and I pray that we all enjoy this. There was a man, all I want to do is tell us what the psalm is saying. That's all I want to do. Tell us what the psalm is saying. There was a man many years ago who accused a very dear preacher of the gospel. He was trying to slander him, but he ended up honoring him and complimenting him. But he accused him, saying, in your preaching, all you're doing is telling us what the Scripture says. He said, that's all you're doing. You're just telling us what the Scripture says. Well, what else would we want to know? You preach that to a child of God and he'll say, amen. Thank you, brother. Well, that's all I want to do. I want us to know that going into this. I just want to tell us what this Scripture says. And I pray the Lord will bless it. I pray he'll bless it. All right, let's look at it together. Verse 1. David said, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And may this be our prayer. As we go through this, may we be able to say with him, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. There is one place of safety and redemption and deliverance for my soul. And that's in the hands of the Lord my God. There's only one place. From the cross, as our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ said this same thing. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Same thing. There's only one place of safety. One place of deliverance. Verse 1 says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Verse 2 says, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. We have many physical enemies. And we have many spiritual enemies in principalities and in powers and in places of darkness. That is true. We have many, many enemies, not only out there, but in here. In here. We have a great enemy who's trying to pull darkness over us, trying to hide these things from us, trying to lull us away from these things. Lord, don't let my enemies triumph over me. We have enemies physically. We have enemies spiritually. But honestly, the two greatest enemies I have are right here in my own flesh. It's my mind and my heart. These two places are the factories of my sin. This is where my sin is made, right here. Lord, please don't let my enemies triumph over me. Please, please, I need you to triumph over them. Verse 3. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Meaning, with rejection for the remedy. Transgression is sin. It means with no conscience, an empty conscience. toward the God that they're sinning again. And I'll tell you who that is. All of us. All of us. If God doesn't cause us to cry out for mercy and forgiveness. All of us. If He doesn't have mercy on us, every one of us. Verse 4. He said, "Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths." Thy ways, Thy paths. There is a way that seems right to me in my flesh, but the end of it is destruction. Show me Thy way. Show me Thy way in everything. Everything pertaining to my life. Show me Your way. Show me Your path. All of my ways and all of my paths are sin. Let me recognize that, Lord. You know, everything that we think would be best for us. Every person here can go into your own situation. This is how I think my life would best go. Show me Your way. Teach me Your path. Verse 5. He said, "Lead me in Thy truth and teach me, for Thou art the God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait all the day." You're the God who saved me. You're the God who saved me. Please lead me and teach me. "I'm waiting on You," He said. "I'm waiting on You. On Thee do I wait all the day." Verse 6. He said, "Remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies and Thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old." Please remember mercy and grace toward me. Even me, let Thy blessings fall on me. Please remember mercy. Please remember Your grace to me. Verse 7. "Remember not the sins of my youth." Don't you beg that of the Lord. Please don't remember the sins of my youth. We could go on and say, "Please don't remember my sins of today." I had plenty of them in my youth. I have plenty of them right now. Verse 7. "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to Thy mercy, remember Thou me for Thy goodness' sake, O Lord." Remember not my sin by remembering Your own blood. Mercy in Your own blood. Every soul that's been covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God the Father has said. We've read it many times. He has said, every soul that's in the blood, He said, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." No more. For His goodness sake. That's the reason why. It's for His goodness sake. I've read this article to you. A very dear preacher of the gospel wrote this a long time ago. He said, "You say you are unworthy of the least of God's mercies. Aren't you glad Christ is worthy? And that the redemption He accomplished was for the unworthy? You say you have no goodness or merits to claim. Aren't you thankful God accepts sinners based on the goodness and merits of His Son? You say the law affords you no hope. Right you are. But the gospel declares that the mercy and grace of God is freely given to sinners because of the doing and the dying of His dear Son. This is the only salvation worth having and the only one worthy to be proclaimed. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. All because of His goodness sake. All for His goodness sake." Verse 8. "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way." God will teach His people Christ the way. The way. Lord, put us in the way. He said, "I am the way." He'll teach His people the way. God will teach His people Christ. How wonderful is that? God will teach His people Christ. They'll grow up with all this mess from religion, all that mess. And through His Word and through His Gospel, God will teach all of His people Christ. All of them. And He'll do that because He's good and upright. Verse 9. The meek will He guide in judgment. And the meek will He teach His way. How glorious is it to think that all of God's people have already been guided through the judgment. He'll guide them in judgment. They've already been guided through the judgment. Therefore, He'll guide them in judgment. In His paths of righteousness, His paths of judgment and justice. Verse 10. And I love this verse. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. Sometimes we wonder, why did things go that way? Mercy and truth. That's the reason why. All the paths of the Lord unto them that are in His covenant. Outside of the covenant of Christ, every path that a man or a woman takes is the path of destruction and sin. Every one of them. But in the covenant of Christ, every path is mercy and truth. Every path, every single path leads to mercy and truth meeting together and righteousness and peace kissing each other. Every path. Verse 11. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Now that's a verse. I've preached from that one verse many times. I've preached from a bunch of these already, just a single verse many times. This is what stands out about that verse. He's saying, Lord, for Your name's sake, because of who You are, who You said You are, call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Call Him that because that's who He is. And that's what He came to do. And it's saying, David is saying here, Lord, I am begging You to pardon my sin because it's so great, because there's so much of it. This is the reason why. Because there's so much of it. Not because it's so small. He's not saying, Lord, it's so small, it wouldn't be much to just let that go. He's saying, because it is so great, so infinitely great, I am begging You, would You please completely pardon all my sin for Your name's sake, because You are who You are. Every soul that asks the Lord of that, He will say to that soul, yes, I will. Yes, I will. I most certainly will. You just come to Me. You will find safety. You'll find security. You'll find rest. You just come to Me. I was thinking about the story. I love the story of Charles Wesley, who was a gospel preacher and a hymn writer in the late 1700s. And the story is told of him being in his upstairs room writing when he had the window open, and all of a sudden a huge storm came up. Just immediate thunder, lightning, rain, and he rushed out to close his shutters. They had, you know, the shutters were open, and as he was reaching out, a bird flew up into his coat. And he pulled that little bird in. And he went and sat back down and wrote, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to Thy bosom fly. The Lord says, you just come to Me. You'll find safety. You'll find rest. You'll find peace. Pardon. It'll lead pardon. Verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. The soul that the Lord has taught will fear him. All of God's people say, I am so afraid to stand before his holiness. The soul that the Lord has taught will fear him. Will fear him. And then verse 13 says, his soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The song says, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Same grace. The very same grace. The same message. The same good news. Taught my heart to fear this holy God. And the gospel from the holy God taught my heart to be relieved. My fears relieved. All of God's people will experience that. Fear and relief from fear because of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's holiness and the Lord Jesus Christ bearing that holiness. Verse 14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord. The secret of the Lord. Across my page in Psalm 27, verse 5 says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. In him shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. He'll put me in the secret place of the rock. He'll hide me in the time of trouble when the judgment comes down. Why will he do that? It's because he made a covenant to do that. He made a promise to do that for his people. And he said, I'll do it and I'll cause them to know it. I'll make sure they know it. Look back at Psalm 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The margin says, his covenant to make them know it. He'll know it. Verse 15. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Our eyes must be ever toward the Lord because we are always falling into the net. That's the reason why we have to ever be toward the Lord, because we are always falling into the net. We cannot keep ourselves from trouble and sin. If the question is asked, when am I going to finally keep myself out of trouble? In this flesh? Never. Never. We cannot. So prone to wander, Lord, we feel it. Prone to it. So verse 16 says, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Lord, I cannot be left alone. Don't leave me alone. Don't leave me alone. Please keep your eye on me. Please keep your hand on me. Please keep your mercy on me. Verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. You're the only one who can. He's the only one who can. You know, David was a man who experienced true distress. True distress. True stress. We shorten that word nowadays to just stress. We just have stress. We're just in stress. David was a man who knew something about running for his life. Just the depression and pain from his family and everything around him. And he's speaking from his heart, and all of God's people can speak from their heart, knowing you're the only one who can deliver me from this. You're the only one who can deliver me from this. Earthly relief is so temporary. Earthly relief can provide just a brief moment, and then you go right back into it. What God does is forever. He does it forever. He's able to do it. He's able to bring us out of our distresses. Verse 18. He said, "Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins." That's a big request, isn't it? Forgive all my sins. Every sin I have ever committed. Please don't leave one unforgiven. Not one sin unforgiven. A true sinner in need never gets out of the position of being a true sinner in need. Never. He said affliction, pain, sin. That's what we're going to deal with the rest of our days here on this earth. Verse 19. "Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred." Our Lord, you know, all of the Psalms, some people talk about certain Psalms being messianic Psalms, meaning it's Christ speaking it. All of the Psalms, we can view them as Christ speaking these on our behalf. And oh, the enemies, our enemies were His enemies. We were His enemies. Everything was His enemy. And from the cross, from the grave, verse 19, "Consider mine enemies, they're many, they hate me with cruel hatred." We did, didn't we? In our flesh. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God He is who He is and He did what He did. Thank God. For us, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, he said, "We are troubled on every side. We're perplexed, we're persecuted, and we're cast down." But he said, "There's hope because of the dying of the Lord Jesus and because of the life that we have in Him." Because of that, he said, we're not in distress. We're not in despair. We are not forsaken, and we're not destroyed. Because of Christ our Savior, because of Him, we can cry. Verse 20. "Oh, keep my soul." This is what it all comes down to. "Lord, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. All of my hope is in You." All of my hope is in You. And that's what will keep my soul. If I had hope in Christ plus something else, I would be in despair, because the plus something else would not bring hope to me. If it was my good works, all I'd have to do is look at myself honestly and I'd fall into despair. If it was my baptism, I'd wonder if I went all the way under. Something would bring me into despair. If it was my anything, if it was Christ plus anything, the plus anything would bring me into despair. But because it's Christ alone, that's what gives me hope. That's what gives me hope. That's what keeps my soul. That's what delivers me and encourages me. I know You've done it. If it's Christ alone, I know You've done it. If I'm putting my trust in You alone, I know You've caused me to put my trust in You alone. Therefore have I hope. You've caused me to hope in You. That gives me hope. Verse 21, He said, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on Thee." David's not talking about his integrity. Boy, the Lord exposed David many times, didn't He? Thank the Lord for David. Thank the Lord for that brother. But he's not talking about his own integrity, and he's not talking about his own uprightness. The only integrity that I have is the integrity of Christ Let integrity preserve me. The only uprightness I have is the uprightness of Christ Himself that has been freely given to me. So I wait on Thee. I trust in Thee. That's what He said at the end of verse 21. I'm waiting on You. I love how He ended this prayer. I truly do love this. For 21 verses, He's been saying, I, me, my. And in the last verse, He says, Lord, would You not only do this for me, but would You do this for every brother and sister in Christ that I have? Would You do this for all of us? Would You do the same thing for all of Your people that I'm asking for myself? Verse 22, He said, redeem Israel. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Don't we pray that for each other? Lord, save us all. Save us all. When we sing, even me, our heart's crying, even us, even save us all. Bless us all. To that, God has said many times over in His Word, I have and I will. He says that to His people over and over again. I have and I will. A wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth our souls in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure we see. A wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. He taketh our burden away. He holdeth us up. And we shall not be moved. He giveth us strength as our day. With numberless blessings, each moment He crowns. And filled with His fullness divine, we sing in our rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer as ours. He hideth our souls in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth our lives in the depths of His love, and He covers us there with His hand. He covers us there with His hand. Oh, keep our souls and deliver us. Let us not be ashamed, for Lord, we are putting our trust in You. To that He replies every time, I have and I will.